Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there, welcome. Thanks for joining us today here on New Life Live. Love having you here. And Dr. Jill Hubbard and Dr. Dave Stoop are with me right now.
We sure are.
We are. And we're here.
We're here.
And rather than waste any time, we are now going to go and talk, going right to the phones. Adrian from Destin, Florida. You are on, and he listens to us on the internet. Hi there. How are you?
Hey, Steve. I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
Sure. What's going on?
So I have a question for y'all.
Okay.
I'm 32 years old, and I've grown up without ever knowing my biological father.
Okay.
It's something that's troubled me for a long time.
Do you know your non-biological father?
I know who he is. I know where he lives.
Your non-biological father?
Yeah. Did you have a dad besides your bio dad?
Yeah, a stepdad.
Yes, I had a stepdad.
Okay.
Yes.
And did you grow up with him?
Yes, since I was 8.
Okay.
And were you close to him?
We were pretty close. We shared some interests. We were kind of different in some ways and kind of same in the others.
Okay.
I was more of a sports guy and getting out there and tackling sports. I played football for a very long time, and he was more into cars and stuff like that. So we were a little different. So my question is, around 30, my wife and I did Ancestry, and, you know, it kind of sparked an interest in me in finding out why my biological father has never been part of my life. And it's something that it just, after Ancestry, it just really sparked an interest in me. So I went on a hunt. I asked my parents. My mom, and she kind of gave me the spiel of, you know, he's not a good person, you know, and somebody that really wants to meet.
How does she know he's not a good person?
They did not have a good marriage, I guess.
I'm talking about now.
He wasn't a good person. Maybe he is now.
How does she know what kind of person he is now?
Right. And that's what I wanted to find out for myself. And I even, you know, I told her, you know, this is something that I'm doing for me. I'm not doing it for anybody else. I'm doing this for myself, you know.
So what's the question for us then?
So my question is, should I pursue a relationship with my father? Now, about a year ago, his nephew actually found me. And we got to talking and things were really cool, and he kind of gave me a perspective or he kind of gave me some answers. He gave me some answers as to what kind of person he is.
What did he tell you the kind of person he was?
He told me kind of the same thing that my mom told me. You know, he said he's a very selfish, very, very arrogant, just not the best person to be around. And he said that even his relationship with him was kind of strange. Just for the same reason. They were never close, just because, you know, he wasn't a very nice person.
Hold on, we're going to help you right after this.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
All right, we're back. Now, Adrian from Destin, you said a couple of different things. One, you said you wanted to know why he didn't want to be in your life. And then the other thing was you said you wanted to have or pursue a relationship with him or see if it's possible. So now, from my perspective, you already know why he didn't want to be in your life. He's an irresponsible, selfish guy,
mm-hmm.
is what
it was
what
easier to not be in
yet.
Your life.
Mm-hmm. And right. I suspect, did you talk to his nephew? Is that who you talked to?
Yes, sir. His nephew, my first cousin.
Yeah. Don't you think the nephew then went to him and said, hey, I just talked to your son who'd like to have a relationship with you?
And that was the plan.
Okay, and so you haven't heard from him, right?
I've heard from him a few times, but ever since that first time that we talked for hours.
No.
Oh, you did? You talked with your biological dad?
No, I talked to his nephew.
Oh, to the nephew.
Okay, so what I'm saying is the nephew most likely went back to your biological father, told him that you guys had been in contact, but that didn't spark any interest on his part to come and pursue you and talk to you, right?
That's what I'm kind of guessing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what is it that you think would be the benefit of continuing the so-called the search?
I guess the benefit is just knowing, you know, how my wife and I just found out that, not just found out, she's 7 months pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And this is our first child. And, you know, I look at her and I look at this beautiful gift that God has blessed us with, or is about to bless us with, and you know, I just sit there and I think how could somebody not
right
be there for their own child? I mean, as soon as I found out that my wife was pregnant, it's like this just
mm-hmm.
Energy just came over me.
Aren't you glad that you did not? Aren't you glad you didn't inherit his irresponsible, unloving nature, so that now your child has a chance to have an amazing relationship with an amazing father. Isn't that mm-hmm. cool?
Oh yeah. So I mean, I'm in.
Now here's something.
I give that glory not only to God but my amazing mother. You know?
Now, here's something I just want to challenge you with one thing. A lot of people in your situation, when they have a child, those kind of mysteries start to rise to the surface, right? Mm-hmm. Wow, how could he give me a... And you know what happens sometimes? Sometimes they put so much energy and emotion into finding the reason about the past that they actually miss some of the joy of having their own child. Wouldn't it be sad if this thing became a bigger and bigger issue, and one day you look back and go, gosh, what was I doing giving up all of that emotion for this guy? I already knew he didn't love me or didn't love anybody. He's a jerk. They even say that now. Why did I have to know what I already knew?
Right.
That's just one caution.
Well, and that's right. Kind of what I'm wondering is, what do you hope to satisfy? And I'm wondering if you are looking and hoping to find that he actually didn't reject you, that there's some other explanation.
And kind of just closure, you know, kind of you know, when I was
all right, let me just say this. Like, let me interrupt you.
Sure.
If you discovered he was dead today, he just got hit by a truck, you would have a way of having closure without ever having met him, right?
Right. It kind of wouldn't change anything.
I want you to consider having closure without having to pursue a man that doesn't want to be pursued. He's just a sperm donor. He's not. I wouldn't even use biological father. I would use the term sperm donor.
Right. Right.
You know what I would do, Adrian? I would write your your sperm donor letter in which you express all of the questions, all of the hurt, all of the pain. Read it to an empty chair. And then burn it.
Or to your wife, maybe.
Or read it to your wife. You read it to an empty chair and your wife. And then when you're done with it, burn it. And consider the burning of that letter to be the closure. Because you're not going to get closure by having any contact with him. He's not the kind of person who cares a bit. And he would do anything probably to make it harder on you.
Okay,
his nature.
But what about, you guys, just another option. What if Adrian set up a meeting with him and met with him for an hour, one time? Instead of this idea of pursuing a relationship, met to him, got to see him face to face.
Well, the only point in that would be to say something to him that he could say in a letter. And
that's true.
If he said it to him, he would get probably a justification or something. Blaming his mother, or he'd be passing the buck because it would not be fulfilling.
Well, right.
But it seems like to me, Jill, and this was my only thought, that the nephew would have made that happen if...
No, I agree with you. I don't know that the dad wants that. But I'm thinking, Adrian, to imagine sitting with your dad for an hour, again, what would you gain? And I'm also wondering, because you've kind of... played up your mom, yet you had this stepdad, and even though you guys aren't alike, I'm wondering if there's some work that needs to be done in your relationship with him. And if you've kind of held this fantasy dad out to say, well, you know, maybe I'm more like him, and you know, maybe there's a part of me that you know, is going to recognize something about myself, versus, you know, not all sons and fathers are exactly alike. But finding the common ground and, you know, really getting the most out of that relationship that you could get. Because he's the dad that's there.
Yeah, I don't know what the statistics are, but it's what we're all aware of. These things rarely amount to anything. Now, had heard that there was this biological father, and that he was a wonderful minister and feeding the poor and stuff, you'd say, wow, he might not even know you exist. You ought to pursue that. We would be saying those things to you.
Right.
But here,
and there
we
are those
already
situations.
Have the answers here. This guy, he's not a good guy.
Yeah.
He's only interested in himself.
I've known that, because if he was a good person, then, you know, he probably would have pursued a relationship with his son a long time ago.
Well, exactly.
Or stepped out of the way so that you could have a consistent life, and now that you're older, would want to meet you.
Right.
Right? There's different scenarios that would keep him a good guy. But he sounds like he's consistently who he is. So if you ignore kind of what we're saying and you choose to meet with him, prepare yourself that you may not get all the answers that you want.
Prepare yourself for disappointment.
For disappointment,
right.
Yeah.
And I have, but I think I won't ignore what y'all say. I think I'll close that chapter of my life and open up the new chapter of being a father myself
being an amazing dad.
Yeah,
you know,
sounds great, Adrian.
And every day you can.
Yeah, be the dad.
Every day you can just be so thankful that you have become something he could have never, ever helped you become. All right, let's go over here and talk with Valerie, Davenport, Iowa. Hi there. How you doing?
Hi. Let me get this off speaker. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to find out if there's any truth in can someone who's been on opioids for a while, can they actually experience things that they perceive as demonic activity?
Well, of course they do. They have all sorts of weird stuff going on in their brain.
Depends on how much they're using, too,
mm-hmm.
though.
Mm-hmm. This is, it's prescription, and this is, it's all, as far as I know, it's all physical. Nothing is being seen and nothing is being heard, I don't think. It's just all physical things happening to them, predominantly when they're trying to sleep or rest.
Okay, so have you ever heard the phrase Occam's razor?
No.
Okay, that is, it refers to...
Could you please spell that?
No, I don't know how to spell it, but I know what it means. Occam's razor.
Can you say it one more time?
O-C.
You won't even need to spell it because it's so simple. Occam's razor is a principle whereby rather than going off and looking in places that are remote, always look at the nearest place and the most logical explanation. In other words, if I lose my keys, Occam's razor says, don't go looking out in the yard or something like that. Go look where often you lay down your change or things like that. So rather than us going to the place of demon possession, mm-hmm. we know some things about people using drugs. Their brain is messed up. They have visions. They have all sorts of weird dreams, and they can't sleep.
And
so,
bodily symptoms.
I wouldn't even give it. You know, if you said this, when he goes to sleep, this person who's never had any kind of addictive chemical, I mean, his body's taken over by something else, I'd say, oh, wow, you get that guy to an exorcist and get that demon out of there. This is typical of people who get addicted to drugs, whether they're prescription or not.
Prescription opioids can be very addictive. Because it depends. There's different intensities or different levels in different medications, and it can be overdone.
And getting off of them very, very,
very difficult.
And this sounds, Valerie, like somebody who perhaps is spiritualizing the symptoms that they're having, which keeps them in a helpless state, instead of proactively getting some help for their ongoing use.
Now, let me tell you something about addiction. It feels like you're possessed. It has a power of its mm-hmm. own. It gets you to do things, think things you don't want to think. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So let's get this guy off of drugs, and then we'll know what's really going on.
Right. Then you can tease it out. You have to start, like Steve said, with the obvious.
Yeah.
Right? And pretty much everybody is having to detox off of opioids. I mean, they're not prescribing them. They're cutting people off.
Yeah, they just cut him off cold turkey.
Oh, yeah, it's horrible.
First time you've heard these symptoms.
No, it's not the first time. It's very common that a drug addict would do anything because, see, they don't know what life is like. They don't think they can live without whatever it is they're addicted to. So, you know, they're looking for the quick fix and all that.
And because it's a prescription, it doesn't enter his mind that he's addicted because he thinks the doctor knows what he's doing. But the doctors were misled in the terms of the oxycodone and opioids in the first place. And you just don't want him to be on them.
And, you know, people will go to the demon possession thing, which you could have a demon, absolutely. But,
just,
you know,
I
when
don't
somebody
know how to
lived,
get through to him.
Well, you have to get him. You don't have to get through to him. You have to get him help. He needs treatment. You need to talk with
the
people
medication
that know how to deal with this. You just can't do it. Addiction is too powerful. But sometimes people, we had somebody live with us who said she was demon-possessed, and we took her to somebody that helped with that. And when that demon came back, we said, okay, now it's time to go see a psychiatrist. You need to get on some medication. We'll be back right after this for more New Life Live.
My wife had found me out through my past and my sexual addiction since I was a small child. It really gave me the opportunity to start digging into my past, start digging into my childhood, figure out what was causing me to feel the way I was feeling. Every Man's Battle will really give you that opportunity because all the guys there in that room are there for the exact same reason you're there. I don't want to be the reason that my kids are going to counseling. I don't want to be the reason that they begin to struggle with the same issues that I'm struggling with, and I've got to put an end to this. Yes, you can be different. God does love you. You can be forgiven for this, and there's a way out of this. But you have to acknowledge that you have to change, and that there's a problem.
If you're struggling, call us. There are people on the other end of the line who want to hear from you, who want to help you. We don't want you to hand down something to another generation that just looks like pain and destruction. You can hand down redemption, but you got to take that first step. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I am so tired of arguing.
I don't understand. God, why did you take him from me?
I don't want my kids to think of me as the angry dad. Why can't I control my temper?
I feel like he's more like my roommate than my husband. How did we become this distant?
I hate looking in the mirror. No matter what I try, nothing seems to work.
I just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
When will I learn to just breathe again?
It doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours can change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Artemer here. Let's talk with John. John is calling us all the way from I don't know where. But anyway, hi, John. How are you today?
Good afternoon. I'm calling you from Southwest Florida.
Nice. How is it down there in Southwest Florida?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's dry and it's hot.
So,
the reason I'm calling is my wife and I attended your Intimacy in Marriage seminar in mid-February.
Oh, wow. Cool. How'd that go?
And I'm sorry?
How'd that go?
Fantastic. It was very good. We had been seeing counselors down here in Florida for a while, and it was my wife's idea that we go all the way over to California to go to the Intimacy in Marriage. I was opposed to it.
Really? Wow.
I didn't think traveling all the way across the country to another counseling session or workshop would be worthwhile. But I just wanted to get on the record for other husbands to know
<All right.
laughs> that it was worthwhile. It was a different experience.
That's
We went in there with issues in our marriage, and when we left there, we still had issues, but we had, I believe, and still have, all of the tools that we need to improve our relationship and certainly improve our marriage.
Oh, my goodness. That's so great. Thank you for here. You know, I love.
Thank you for traveling.
It's one thing to hear from somebody who says, I was so excited to get to go, versus someone like you who said, I didn't want to do it. I mean, that means so much to the other guys that are sitting there where you were.
And I thank you, John. This is Larry Sonnenberg, because you saved me from having to tell everybody how good it was. You just did that. So thank you.
Anything that you think of that really, like, you know, Mylon Kay's material is so powerful. Had you heard any of that kind of stuff before?
I had heard bits and pieces. I had never heard it all in one place, in one uniform presentation.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And quite frankly, the thing I liked the most out of the seminar, and I'm not sure if I have the terminology correct, but the comfort circle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
The comfort, how you can sit down with your spouse, calmly connect with each other, and talk by using that outline to communicate with the words that touch each other.
Yeah.
And do it in a fashion to where when you come to the end of it, you've achieved a goal. You're not just going over it and over it and over it. I think that has great potential, and my wife and I will certainly be using that.
Great.
So it was a great experience, even though I'll tell you one thing. If anybody tells you that it doesn't rain in Southern California.
Oh, my gosh. I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely in February, rain. We got our share.
We're almost double the normal amount of rain.
Oh, I know.
Well, John, thank you.
I felt a need to let other husbands know that there's a real benefit there and that they should not fight it so hard.
Thank you.
Wow.
And I think attend this program. Suck it up and go.
Suck it up and go. Yeah, stop
that's
protesting.
Our new theme.
Yeah, that's our new theme, our new slogan.
No, I really think it will make a huge difference to a lot of guys that what you've said there.
Mm-hmm.
Cannot thank you enough, John. Anything else you want to say before you run away?
Whoops, that's my dog. No, sir.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Steve, I loved listening to you. You have a great sense of humor, and you use it well.
Thank you.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. Thank you so much, and God bless you all.
I'm going to send you a little gift. I'm going to send you Every Man's Bible, and I hope you like it also. Really grateful. Anybody else, if you want Every Man's Bible, come and flatter me, and we'll get that to you as soon as we can. But really, it was an amazing weekend, and I got to tell you, we had tough cases. We really did. And then we had some people that, like you said, Larry, you know, last time we talked about this, they just wanted a little bit better marriage. Now, we can't do it without the support of our people. So let's talk about Club New Life while you were away. I didn't do too well in encouraging people.
You're too hard on yourself. You did really well. The people didn't respond. They're the ones that are lacking. So come on, people. Suck it up and help.
Took the messenger.
I like our new theme.
I know.
Yeah, we need your help with Club New Life. We're short this month, and we were short in February. We want to start March off right. We need 6 people a day to sign up, and we're putting up... or have just put up a video from John Townsend. I forget the topic, but he did for our Club New Life Library. We got a great thank you gift, $30 a month or more, other benefits. Club New Life makes all the difference. If we can grow Club New Life, we won't have to come on later in the year and spend days on end harping and asking and begging for money. So please join today. $30 a month. Call 800-NEW-LIFE, or you could go online to newlife.com. Hit the donate button, and it'll take you to a page where you can sign up.
All right. Thanks, Larry. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man, and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me, and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Call us 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll tell you about all the stuff we do. Jennifer, Waynesboro, Pennsylvania, listens on WBYN. Hi there.
Hi. I have a struggle that I've had for my whole life, and it comes out at times when it's very inappropriate, and I have a strong dislike for men. Mm. And
we're going to let Jill answer this then.
as a teenager, people would tease me about dating and getting married, and I would always get really upset and say, "I'm never getting married." Mm-hmm. And then in college, I didn't hardly date, and you know, about ready to graduate from college, and the fear of living alone and supporting myself took over. And I married a man that God just kept saying, no, no, no. Mm. And after 30 years, more than 30 years of marriage, I left. And about six years later, we got a divorce. And I'm still struggling with this. It just came out the other day, this anger that, like, all baby boys should have their genitalia removed at birth.
Oh.
You know, and a guy has nothing to offer a woman, you know, except he thinks it's his, what's between his legs. And it's like, you know, that's totally worthless. And
so, Jennifer.
And it's so hard. I want to move beyond.
Right. So, you know, what happened to you when you were young? What was your mother's attitude towards men? And
what was your father like?
Yeah.
Okay. I was in between two boys.
Okay.
And of my parents, my mother's attitude towards men, which I, you know, learned later, was men were good for one thing.
Yeah.
My parents were in Christian work. But my mother did interact with guys. And I don't know if anything happened to me. I think I may have been molested as a little one. But God has not shown me that. I've asked him if it would be to my benefit to know if he would show me, and he has not. But with my brothers, I was either friends with them or enemies with them.
Mm. Yeah, you there's know, kind of like no nice in between, it seems like.
Nice with me, but then when the other brother came along, you know, I didn't exist. You're a girl. You know, you can't put the frog bones together. They had dissected a frog.
Okay. And so what have you done to get rid of the anger so far?
I've done a lot of work in counseling and journaling, and I've done a lot of calling things what they are, like my first sex with my husband when we were married was like rape. Mm-hmm. He was just to check out my body and do his thing, and that was it. And so being able to put names to feelings has been helpful.
Mm-hmm. But it hasn't resolved the anger. It hasn't been that kind of thing.
It has not resolved the anger, no. Yeah. And I really want to get
beyond the anger. So, Jennifer, do you think that God made a mistake when he made man?
In my head, I know he didn't.
Okay. That there's some...
But as a human being, yeah. I would say... Definitely.
Well, it seems, Jennifer, that your emotion is almost too strong mm-hmm. for it to be the fact that you weren't, females weren't valued in your family and males were, because your two brothers were valued and you were forgotten. If that was the cause of it, that would explain it to some degree, but not the intensity. Mm-hmm. And it seems like something more happened someplace along the way, but God hasn't shown it to you. I wonder if going back through your journals quickly would maybe give you some clues as to what. But there's something at the root of it that I hope you get to for your sake, because you're dealing with half the population.
Right. You know, and I think that when... I know when I was younger, it was a time where, you know, we women were kind of, you know, this was an attitude, mm-hmm. you know, that we needed to step up and, you know, we could do things as good as men. We didn't necessarily need them. And that was a cultural attitude that was perpetuated. And I know for myself, actually, since my divorce, I feel like God has shown me a deeper appreciation for men. And I, you know, I have my own share of hurt. But at the mm-hmm. same time, there, you know, God created man for a reason. And he created man and woman to serve different purposes. And it used to be, it's like, we need to teach these men how to be like us. And that isn't true. We both have something to teach each other. And Jennifer, I'm also hearing kind of a disdain, perhaps, for intimacy and sexuality that goes along with this, the way you talk about a men's genitalia. And so...
Completely disgusting.
Right. So there's something there that's a lot deeper. And I think there may have been some sexual abuse in your background, but, you know... Sometimes if it's God doesn't bring it to mind, you know, it's not that would answer everything. But I think Dave's right. This is historical because it's too intense for what you're sharing with us. And that means that your work is not finished. And so what was traumatic for you? And sometimes there isn't one traumatic event. It's more like a cumulative trauma that develops our attitudes.
The attitude that's passed on.
Yeah, and it's also...
And intensified.
I was always afraid of my father.
Okay.
Well, that has a big part in this. If you had had a loving, nurturing relationship with him, who knows? But let me just talk to you for a minute personally. Mm-hmm. You know... I was one of those men that one time in my life, it was all about sex. It was the only way that I felt connected to anybody. It wasn't necessarily sexual intercourse. It was just being sexual. And so the assumption that you make about all men isn't true, but it is true about certain men mm-hmm. at certain times. Now, I want to tell you on behalf of my gender, I'm really sorry that you were hurt by us. I'm really sorry that your father didn't scoop you up and give you the kind of comfort that can only be given by a man, because we are kind of scary. And then when we come along and you see the gentle, caring, loving side, it really changes your heart. That's the way God meant it to be. And I hope you can forgive me for that time that I was like you assume all men are. I'm not like that anymore. And I don't ever want to be like that, because that wasn't really being a man. Everything about that is being an animal. Mm-hmm. As a man, we have choices. And there are guys going to every man's battle every month deciding, I'm not going to be an animal anymore. I'm going to be a godly man. And so I hope and pray that over the years that you'll get to meet more people who maybe they were like you thought they were, but they've made a change. In the meantime, I really think that your father traumatized you mm-hmm. in, if you were always afraid of him, I think he imprinted on your brain, men are to be feared, and everything that they have is scary. And so I'm hoping that you could let us find a really great trauma therapist specialist who could get you beyond that. It would give you some freedom, because look, this thing that you have against men, it keeps you safe and distant mm-hmm. from them, but it's miserable, and that's why you're calling. And so right. I hope we could help you with that.
Me too.
I'm really sorry that you haven't been around some men like Dave. He's one of the strongest, gentlest, loving people on the earth.
Yep. Wow. One of the good guys.
And I think if you give us a chance again, I think you're going to need some trauma work first. I think you're going to discover
EMDR would be helpful.
Yeah, there's some pretty good guys out there. I'm really sorry for what you've mm-hmm. been through. I'm going to send you Jill's book, Forgiving Our Fathers and Mothers, written by a woman. And I hope it will mean something to you. I hear your tears, and I'm really sorry for what you've been through. I'm so glad you called and asked for help. We'll be back right after this for more New Life Live.
My wife asked me for the first time in 2011 if I would consider myself a sex addict, so I signed up. You know, I'd read the Every Man's Battle book, and it was a great book, but the workshop, it was the experience that really was key for me. If they go to EMB, they're going to be in good hands. You know, this is a safe place. They're going to be surrounded by men that simply walk the talk. The weekend leaders that they will go through this workshop with, they'll help them to get to the root of their issues. You know, I've been through a number of well-preached sermons, listened to and read countless books, been to a number of seminars, but EMB for me was a game changer. It truly saved my life. Being in this community, being in this workshop, being around these men will change them if they'll let them. You're going to encounter men that will meet you where you're at, and you will instantly walk into a safe place where they're welcome.
If you're struggling, call us. We don't want you to go on struggling. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Last year after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and we're going to go right here to line one. On line one, we have two people, Chris and Mickey from Kansas City, Kansas, listening on Sirius XM. Hi there. How you doing?
We're doing good. How are you all?
Doing okay. What is going on with you two that you're both on the line here?
Well, we've been married for 28 years, and we have two grown daughters, 120, 119, and we just don't argue well. It seems like our disagreements turn into fights, and I've got my share of things that I'm not happy with, and I'm sure my wife has things that she's not happy with me about. And her challenge is I am a ADD guy. So that's the two double whammies. So that's what her challenges are.
Okay. Can you think of something that you've argued about that was just really a big issue to both of you?
Sure. Nikki, you want to go?
Well, just the other day we had a really big argument, and honestly, I can't remember what it was about.
Wow. No. Wow. That's
I forget, and I'm
shocking.
And he likes to dwell and kind of dissect the argument.
Yeah.
So I'd already put it behind us, and a week later he was still mad at me. And it was something that I said. It was like an appointment we had or something, Beckett. Would you remember what it was? I can't remember.
Yeah, it was an appointment we had, and we had a disagreement on how we should handle it. So usually the way it will progress is we'll disagree, and she'll either call me stupid, or if our kids are around, if I do something that'll irritate them, she'll say, "Now you see why your dad and I don't get along so well."
So you bring them
like
into
this.
It.
Now,
there
you
go.
Whoa. Back up a minute. Back up. What happens is he gets the story completely off because he has ADD. So even my kids do the same thing. Like, they'll be telling him something that's happening, and then when he says it back to them, like they're like, "Dad, that's not what I said at all." Like, I told you I was going here, and I was doing it at 4 o'clock, not Saturday at 2 o'clock. And then they're like, "And I'm not even going to that place. I'm going to the other place. Were you even listening?" And so a lot of times when he does it, he'll drill me. He's like, "That's not what I said." And I'll say, "That is what you said. We had a whole conversation about it." And he's like, "That wasn't exactly what we said." I'm like, "Oh, you're so stupid sometimes. You're not listening. And I told you, you know, when it gets to that place." And I'm like, I always tell him, "You're not stupid. I'm just so frustrated that for 20 minutes you've argued with me, and I know the kids were standing there, they heard you," and he'll deny it because he doesn't want to admit that he forgot.
Okay. So Dave, you're hearing this.
Very frustrating.
And,
well,
Dave,
sometimes I may have said that, but that's not what I meant. Does that ever happen?
Right, and that's what I'll tell him later. I was just so frustrated because for 20 minutes you were drilling me about this thing that doesn't even matter. It doesn't matter now. I'm sorry I said that. I should have said it, but it's just so frustrating when you forget. And, you know, whatever, you know, we didn't get to the appointment on time, or we didn't, whatever, the ball got dropped.
What if you had a new rule that both of you are right when you're in an argument? You're both right, but you're both inaccurate, because that's the way we always are. We're never that accurate in terms of interaction with each other.
We hear things based on our perception.
Yeah, and we're both right because it's from our perception. You waste a lot of time, it sounds like, trying to argue as to who is right.
Yeah,
and if you gave up the need to be right, it might change the whole dynamic.
Yes, and you're absolutely right, because when we get
I'm only relatively right.
Well, but I'm wondering, too, why the two of you don't embrace more or understand his ADD condition and work with it instead of against it, right? It is true that ADD people sometimes hear things like Swiss cheese. There's holes in what they hear.
Well, wait.
Go ahead.
Rather than get angry when he does what ADD people do, since he's going to do it till he dies.
He can't help
it. How about being able to say, honey, that's the ADD thing there, because here's, you know, what I really meant, or here's what I said. And there's no anger there. Now, look, you guys, you can live like this if you want to. Or you can do something that is absolutely radical. You could actually care about each other. You guys don't even care about each other. You care about who's right and who's wrong and who looks better in front of the kids. Can't you see? You don't care. You're not caring. You're mean to each other because being right is so important to you, because you each are so insecure in who you are.
Well, what about this? So, like there was a situation recently where we've got a car that's needing a new engine, and we're going to have to take Toyota to court about it because it's a long story, but it's really involved. And there's this little Crime Stopper thing on our news channel that kind of goes and takes local people that rip people off, and it's more like, you know, just a guy paying somebody. And so my husband's like, we should call them. This is what started a huge fight. He didn't talk to me for a few weeks back. And I told him, I said, you know, they don't really deal with that kind of issue. This is way bigger. They don't take on big companies. And he was adamant about it. So I tried to tell him, you know, okay, I'll contact them. I'll go ahead and send an email. But it ended up, we got in an argument about it. And I came back to him the next day and I said, I'm sorry. We got in an argument about this. I went ahead and emailed them. I understand what you're saying. I'll try. I don't think that's what they do, but just because of his ADD, I was like, I'll go ahead and do it for you. And he could not accept that, and he was still mad. And no matter what I did, no matter what I said, he wouldn't talk to me. And so it's really frustrating on my end, because when I try to do it the right way, and I try to say, you know, I'm sorry, let's not make this any bigger than it has to be, it always gets like...
Well,
there's a lack of forgiveness.
But guess what you just did?
Lack of forgiveness. Exactly.
Guess what you just did?
Which makes me madder.
Yeah, so you made him the bad guy in front of everybody listening. Not just your children, but you gave an example where he was worse than you in his response. But both of you are missing each other.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I wish I could make both of you mad at my answer, and then maybe you'd get together on something. Man, that was horrible, wasn't it? Wouldn't you agree?
But look, we get together on some stuff. We do. It's just
okay. But you called because you guys are going a week without forgiving each other.
That's not okay.
Honestly, I was.
Oh yeah, you were better. You were forgiving. That's right. I got you.
I really do try to forgive, and he won't forgive me back. And I don't know how to. I don't know how. I can go back in time and take back the words or take back the look that I gave him that made him mad.
Okay, but wait a second.
And
he's not saying to you, he's not giving you a diagnosis or a judgment. And you are giving him one. You're saying that's your ADD, something he can't totally be free of. So that's hard to, you know, just hear that over and over again. It's hard. So here's what I'm going to tell you. We'll send you Smart Love. We're going to send you Mylan and Kay's book, How We Love. And I'm going to send you Understanding a Loving and Loving a Person with Attention Deficit Disorder. But if there was ever a couple that ought to be at our marriage intensive, it's you two people.
Yes, sir.
Listen, you have to do this for your children. They are going to grow up and marry some really sick people if you don't change this. Because you're teaching them how to hold a grudge. And guess who they're going to hold a grudge against? You. You're training them to not forgive you.
Right.
And be angry at you.
And the silent treatment is a way of controlling when you feel out of control.
All right. If anybody needs some help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And if you can help us, it's that same number. And boy, do we ever need your help. Please help us. Please support us if possible. See you next time.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life.
We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.